can't do that, it's okay too. We're going to be streaming live on Facebook soon enough, and with enough technology that you can actually watch from your home. That's not a replacement for church. That's if you're sick, you can watch it. And those of you who are watching right now, I want to say thank you for turning it on, I guess, instead of just staying in bed. Being sick, it's not fun. So this time we can enjoy getting into worship along with other folks who can't make it here. We're going to start this morning talking about education in our Christian lives. And I know it sounds like a really exciting topic, but I will tell you that as I look at the message this week, I find it very exciting because there's some challenges even for me as a pastor and as a dad and as a husband, and I'm hoping that you will see this as a challenge to you too. So open up your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. The Article 12 of the Baptist Faith, the Message, it's been what we've been going through, and we're at the 12th article right now, and it's based upon this scripture. Well, this is one of many, but Proverbs 3:13 reads this. It says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding." That being said, let me read for you our belief section of this article called The Baptist Faith and Message. "Christianity is the faith of enlightenment and intelligence. In Jesus Christ abide all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All sound learning is therefore a part of our Christian heritage. The new birth opens all human faculties and creates a thirst for knowledge. Moreover, the cause of education in the kingdom of Christ is a coordinate with the causes of missions and general benevolence, and should be received along with these the liberal support of churches. An adequate system of Christian education is necessary to complete spiritual program for Christ's people. In Christian education, there should be a proper balance between academic freedom and academic responsibility. Freedom in any orderly relationship of human life is always limited and never absolute. The freedom of a teacher in a Christian school or college or seminary is limited by the preeminence of Jesus Christ, by the authoritative nature of the scriptures, and by the distinct purpose for which the school exists." I think one of the greatest among Christian parents, I've seen some that set high standards for their children and some that have no expectations for their children, but when we select a babysitter for our children, we seem to want to find the right babysitter. We want to do some looking. We want to say things like, you know, they should, I want to know them. I want to know how they treat their family. I want to know what they believe in. And they have some good references. We do that when we call a babysitter for our kids, right? But what we don't do is when we go to school, we send our kids to school. After the first week of school, we say, "Hey, what were your teacher's name?" And so we don't even know our kid's teacher's name after a week of school, but we are willing to put them in school for that long of time. Now, parents, as we look at this and you say, "Well, I guess I never did that," don't consider yourselves failures. What I'm saying is we need to spend time on learning how to get our children educated in the proper manner. You know, we sometimes will accept a teacher for who they are, and we don't know whether they're an atheist or a Southern Baptist. We don't know if she or he is a socialist or a conservative capitalist. We don't know these things about them. We don't know if they're even a homosexual or they're not. They're a heterosexual. We don't know these things going in. Sometimes you find out halfway through the year that your teacher that's teaching your child doesn't have a lifestyle that's worth sharing with your children. Now, I say to you this morning, we have to teach our children what our nature is and what our purpose is as Christians. We need to teach them as parents what we should strive for and how we should conduct ourselves. Those are just a few things that we need to teach our children. Now, granted, in smaller towns, you don't have to worry about that so much because small towns, everybody knows everybody and everybody knows the lifestyle that this person has or doesn't have, and that works. But sometimes in a larger community like Oregon City, we don't know the background of a teacher. We don't know that a secular school that's right down the street from you may or may not have the kind of values you want to instill upon your children. And so what kind of stands does your teacher have with your children? Do they have moral standards that are high enough to teach your children, but yet we spend hours and hours trying to find a babysitter? that's going to teach our kids right. And you know, here's the problem with schools, and public schools anyways. We don't discuss those things in public schools. We don't discuss the natural distinction of man or order of birth or sin. We don't discuss those things because those are taboo in the public school system. We're not allowed to touch those things. And the reason this has happened is because we have allowed, and I know this sounds like a conspiracy theorist, but I will say to you, we've allowed as people the federal government to decide what our children learn in school. And so we have allowed our children to learn less and less about the God of the universe and more about the secular history of humanity and the future of humanity. They are setting goals for our children that I don't appreciate my children knowing. Because they shouldn't have those kind of goals. They should have biblical goals. And we're looking for quality. And some of the reasons that we're not willing to engage in these conversations is because we don't know what to say to a teacher who may live a different lifestyle than you. There's a broad array of things that we seem to be tolerant for when we say we don't want to pry, we don't want to get involved in their life, but yet they're involved with their children's lives as students. They are put forth. They have put forth an idea that your children will catch on to. Our children will catch on to. And there are changes in the education of our children that I don't appreciate. There are so many things that I went through as a child that I was taught as a child in school. I had a Christian teacher, and he was able to say with as much freedom as he had in 1984, which is, I know, a long time ago, back when kids couldn't wear shorts to school. We had rules for those kind of things. We had a Christian teacher. His name was Mr. Red. And during the time right before the concert, he'd say, okay, let's have a moment of silence. And he'd give me a wink and a nudge. He says, you know what that means, right? I wasn't really a growing Christian at the time. I thought, well, that means that we don't talk. And you know, he spent some time getting to know me, and he was one of the greatest influences in my life as a Christian man, because when I asked him, why do we do the moment of silence when so many people don't want to do it? He said, I can't really pray for you, but I can allow you to pray for yourselves. And it broke my heart to think that a teacher can't pray for a student at school. You can't even bring up the word prayer at school. Now I grew up, I got ordained and licensed and all those things, I became a minister, and he was one of the ones that I felt privileged enough to sign my ordination certificate. So he got to sign my ordination, you know, this is, you know, some 20 years after I graduated from high school, or 15 years, because he made an impact in my life. Secular teachers that had no Christian values, they didn't impact my life. They impacted my life then and there because I had to do what they said to get the right grades. So, why do we worry about this? Well, we support the Southern Baptist Convention as a church. Southern Baptist Convention sends missionaries out to do exactly that. They go into schools and they become an English teacher. And the text they use often comes out of Scripture. So we support that. The reality is there's a neutrality. Neutrality in Christian walk is impossible. Jesus made neutrality of religion impossible. Now, before I try to define a big word like neutrality, it means I have no opinion either way. I'm kind of right in the middle. Jesus Christ gave us no out for that. Matthew 12:30 says this. He who is not with me is what? Against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad, which means secularism isn't neutral either. Secularism is choosing to be on the other side of where God is. And so when you have a secular worldview in school, then you have a view of the world that is without Jesus Christ. And I will say to you as a parent, it's your responsibility to have your children have a biblical worldview. And I say this because the thing about school is they teach Darwinism, right? And they teach those things in school. They teach this creation from a microbe into what we call humanity. And I believe that it takes so much faith to do that. Why don't they just teach Christianity? Why don't they just teach that God created it because that's what God's Word says? And so it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, but they've never seen it. And so ask a teacher if they can explain why the pilgrims came to this area, the United States, over on the East Coast, right? Ask them to explain why they did it without using the word religion. They can't do it. They have to discuss religious freedom. But you have to ask them, what's the difference between capitalism or communism? There's no neutrality there. If we think there's neutrality in those things, we are fooling only ourselves. Because you have to land on one side or the other. You can't be in the middle. You're either for Jesus or you ain't for Jesus. Are you for Jesus this morning? Amen. Or you ain't. Don't say amen. Okay? Why is this important? Well, because there are consequences for the ideas we have in our head. There are consequences from a worldview in education. There is formulas that are out there for living that do not include Christ, and there's a consequences. Our children are learning a worldview in school. Secularism in school. Secularism is separate from Christ. And why is our country in the shape that it's in? Because we've pulled away from Christian learning. We've pulled away from Jesus Christ being the center of who we are. We have pulled away from that because we say things like abortion, it's their choice, it's not murder. We say things like homosexuality and marriage, it's their choice. Yes, it's their choice, but they're choosing something that is anti-Christ. So when you're asking me to accept it, I cannot accept it. I can only teach against the secular worldview. Because that is that's what I'm called to do as a pastor, as a Christian. We're called to take a stance. And there is no room for a secular worldview in Christianity. Here's the thing. We often say to ourselves, you know what? It's the church's job to give religious education. We have Sunday school, and it's the school's job to give an other matters kind of education, the other things in life. And the church will balance out the secular. We get our kids to church and Sunday school, we're going to be balancing that out. So, let's do the math. Real quick, math class. There are 52 weeks in a year, right? Do we know this? 52 weeks a year. We just started Sunday school for our children, so that's 1 hour a Sunday. And if they come to church and they understand about half of what I say, then I'll give them another half an hour of point for that. So let's just say that. They get an hour and a half, 52 weeks a year. That's how many hours? Somebody who's a math whiz, please help me out. About 77. Just throw it out there. 77, right? Now, 77 hours. Now, do you want to know something else? These are kind of the numbers I was looking at this week. That an average 8-year-old spends 28 hours a week watching television. That's 1,040 hours per year watching TV. The average 12-year-old spends anywhere from 30 to 50 hours a week in front of his or her computer. And it's bigger, the number is huger, bigger if it's the computer's in their room. Because they have access to it in the middle of the night. Right? So kids spend roughly 7 hours a day, 5 days a week in school, for about 180 days. That's 1,260 hours of kids spending in school. Now we compare the 1,260 hours to kids being in school to the, 77 hours they spend in church. Now who's teaching your kids more, the school or church? And then when you compare the two, church versus TV, what has more of their attention? Television, right? So for those maybe 77 hours of education they get from the church, it's not the church's job to educate our children, and it's definitely not the government's job to educate our children. Whose job is it to educate my children? I'll point at me. Whose job is it to educate my children? Me. It's my job. And as a parent, it's your job to educate your children. You know, there's a scripture back in Exodus. It's in that whole Ten Commandments thing, right? I think there were 20 and they dropped 10. So maybe that's a movie I saw. Anyways, So the ten, no, just, I'm kidding. I know there's only 10 commandments. So the 10 commandments, one of them is to honor your mother and father. Honor your parents. Now, there's no statute of limitations on that, just so you know. We like to speak in terms. There's a statute of limitations on beating somebody up and getting arrested. There's no statute of limitations on the 10 commandments. I almost did it again. On the 10 commandments, there's no statute of limitations. So how long do we honor our parents? Until we're 18? No. Honor always our parents. So you have influence into, you can read into, you can speak into your child's life even if they're an adult. You can speak into a child's life. It's not the government's job to teach them. It's your job as a parent to teach them. And this is what this stems out of, this recognition that we're not responsible, is the recognition that we don't know as much as we're supposed to know. You know, I am not the wisest parent in the world. I used to think the best role model for parenting was the Brady family, right? He's a lovely lady. They have three girls on her. I don't even know the song. But all eight of them made a family. And we had mom, we had dad, and dad taught lessons. Who knew that he was homosexual? We didn't know that at the time. We just saw this dad. They read a book before they went to bed, and they kissed each other on the lips. They were the best mom and dad I've ever seen in my life, right? It was them and then like the Adams family, right? So this is, can you tell where I got my education when I was a kid? Gilligan's Island was like over here. But so what I'm saying is we have this idea of what parenthood should be, but are we getting our idea of parenthood from the world or from Scripture? Look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And it wasn't because your knowledge wasn't available. We're going to read the whole verse. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Now, the reason I think that this happens to coincide so well with the things that are going on today is because we're having graduation. We have a couple of people that have graduated already. We have some that are graduating in the weeks to come. And what's happening is you're recognizing their knowledge of high school academia, right? And then, so it's not that the knowledge isn't available. It's just that people rejected it. Now, I want to say something to you. If you reject the teaching of your teacher in high school, how many of you will succeed in getting your diploma? That's this many percent. If you don't know what that means zero. Donut, babe. Okay? So, you will not get your diploma if you do not take an interest in the education that the school has to offer you. So, I'm not telling you not to go to school. Believe me, that's not, I know you're thinking that's what I'm saying, but I'm not saying that. Okay? What I'm saying is we have this problem that we don't access the knowledge that we are given. Our problem is we reject knowledge as a people. We reject the Holy Spirit as a people. We're rejecting that because we think our view of things is better. And I'm speaking specifically of Christian education because that's where I stem my knowledge base from. I used to hate history. I will tell you, I hated history in high school. All 3 years that I took the same class, I hated history. And the only reason, true confession time, Mr. Gleason's passed on, so I can say this out loud. I cheated in my third year to get out of it. Yes, I think he knew, actually. He said to me one time in the afternoon, he said, "Dan, you're my teacher's aide for this class. You must be learning a lot. You're getting straight A's this semester." And then he walked away. You think I felt guilty? Well, no, not as a high school student, but I'll tell you, I didn't like history. But as a Christian, I'm fascinated with history. I'm fascinated with his story. I'm fascinated with learning. I want to go to the Holy Land. I never wanted to go to the Holy Land, but now I'd like to go. I'd like to walk where Jesus walked. I'd like to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus prayed. I would like to do those things. I'm fascinated by his story, right? And we separate our secular life from our religious life. And I think that's what happened was when I was learning about the world, I was learning about Ben Franklin and George Washington and all those other president guys that we, you know, that doesn't fascinate me as much as who Jesus was. You know? So I think it's important for us to do that. We are, the Bible tells us that he wants us to be his people and to learn. There's a book called How the Irish Saved Civilization. Has anybody heard of it? Any bookworms? Okay, let me tell you what it is, okay? It might seem kind of funny to you, but it's actually based on a historical account. When the Roman Empire fell, Irish Christians stepped in to preserve not only the Bible, but all the books of history and philosophy and legal theory and science and literature. All because they did this, it was an actual thing that happened. It saved the literary side of Christianity. And so when the Protestant Reformation began, John Calvin promoted an elementary education of these methods, and we call it Sunday school, right? And it helps us. Sunday school was an extension of teaching the Bible so kids could learn. And Sunday school was kind of a place where people that could not afford the Christian institutions back then, by the way, Christian institutions were things like Harvard and Yale. Those were all based on Christianity, okay? So Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cambridge, those are just a few founded by Christians. They were all institutions of higher learning. So John Calvin came up with Sunday school as an opportunity for lay people like myself or like yourself to learn about God in a school setting. It was an extension of that. Sort of a Christianity higher learning. So see, historically, Christians have believed that knowledge and education was very important. So we believe as a church that knowledge and education is very important. We didn't have Sunday school until just a few weeks ago. But I'll say to you call it, whatever we decide to call it, it's still getting into God's Word. You can call it Sunday school if you want. You can call it D-time if you want. You can call it back to the Bible. Whatever you want to call it, I don't care, really. But I will say to you, if we stop teaching God's Word in Sunday school, it becomes a social hour. I'm going to stop doing Sunday school. Because Sunday school is for us to learn. Discipleship training, we used to call it training me when I was younger. And then I went to church training. Then I went to discipleship training because that was really cool in the 90s for everybody to have discipleship training and Bill Bright and all that stuff. And so we have those things because we think it's important to pass on Christian knowledge. Christian education is something that should begin at home. And moms and dads are responsible for their Christian education of their children. It is your responsibility as a parent to bring your child to a place where they can learn about God. If they go to a public school, I'm not saying you should pull them out and send them all to Christian school. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if they go to a public school, you need to bring them to church to learn about God. And if that church isn't teaching about God, then you need to find another church. Because this church is going to teach about God. And we're going to teach about Jesus and how he relates to our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 reads like this. It says, take heed of yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. The Bible clearly teaches that our children are to be taught by their parents. It's not somebody else's responsibility to teach your child how to be a Christian. It is our responsibility as parents to model that for them. Look at what Proverbs chapter 4 says. It says this, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. If I started every conversation with my children like that, they would just go, look the other way. But this is what God's Word says. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and only a child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. And so it's up to us, parents and grandparents. I can tell you in every youth group we've ever had, there's always been a son or a daughter raised by a grandparent. It's not the best. It's not really what God ordained for marriage. But sometimes parents shouldn't be parents. It takes biology to create a child. It takes Christianity to raise a son or a daughter. You cannot do it without God. I shudder to think that babies are being born into a secular society where they will have to choose their preference as they're 5 and 6 years old of who they want to be. As a parent, it's your job to teach them who they are. They're God's wonderful creation. Right? So, I understand that it's not easy to do that as a parent, as a grandparent, because the school has so much influence over your children. But it's necessary. We as Christians need to be looking into what our kids are learning. So if you don't know what the science class at your school is teaching your child, shame on you. You need to go down there and find out. You need to find out if they're teaching, evolution. Because evolution is an anti-Christ religion that we teach our children by letting them believe that. Now see, we also have to be disciplinarian with our children. There's a reason we have discipline in our lives. It's to correct us. I'm not talking about a whooping. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is correction. We are to specifically teach behavior. We are to influence our children's behavior by the way we have our lifestyle. And if we model that lifestyle for our children, when they step out of line with that lifestyle that we've taught them, there needs to be some correction. There's nothing unbiblical about correcting your children. We have to teach them about the Great Commission. We talked about it last week. Going and making disciples. You are fulfilling the Great Commission in your house. You're building disciples in your house. But who are they following? If you are a disciple of the world, that's who they will disciple from. If you are a disciple of Christ, that's who they see. And that's who they'll follow. The command is given to us. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's three people on your side right there. You know? Teaching them to observe all things. Not part. Not just what you like. Or even just what you understand. You know, sometimes we don't understand things, so we kind of avoid that topic with our children. And you know what? That's not what God wants for us either. If you don't understand something, you do the research to find out what it is you're supposed to be teaching your children. See, if this church had all the money and all the manpower it needed, I would put a Christian school here. Because I think at a Christian school, we have the opportunity to teach Christian lifestyle. And parents would have another choice to put their children somewhere where they can learn Christian basics and hopefully beyond Christian basics. The point is the church is supposed to come alongside the parents to educate your children. Yeah, we only have them 77 hours a year right now, but we're to come alongside you. You have them at home more, sometimes more than you want them there, but sometimes you take that time and you teach them through your actions. And we bring up children and teach them the way they should go. That's what it says in Scripture. So, how do we as parents or grandparents make this applicable? Short of opening up a Christian school, what are we going to do? Well, that's three suggestions. First of all, we ought to get into a routine of personal, spiritual discipleship in your house. Your children need to know that you study God's Word. Now, listen. I'm not saying pretend. I don't want you to pretend you're studying God's Word. Because I got to be honest with you. As a person, I cannot sit in a room and really study with my children running around. So I don't expect you to break out the hardcore Bible study at your house. But God expects us to teach our children. Sometimes maybe your children would learn better if you had a devotion. We did try it at the dinner table. Now there's so many distractions. Everybody's eating at a different time right now. It's wonderful to sit down together and be able to crack open the Bible at dinner time. I'm not saying I do it. I'm saying that's what we should do, right? Okay? There are so many things that get in the way of devotion time. Listen, sports schedules. You know, we got sports, we got scouts, we got horse clubs, we got all this stuff. You know, I'm just throwing those out there because I know that these are the things that we're involved in, right? It's not a horse club, it's equestrian, right? Is that the proper name? So what I'm saying is we have all these things that divide our time from our children. You need to take the time you have. Take the time to talk to your children in the car. It's tough, but do that. Secondly, we should get intentional about the spiritual transformation of your children. Be intentional. This involves praying for them, being a part of their education, both spiritual and otherwise. It means involved, it means call a role modeling your children. Be a role model for your child. Be the kind of parent you want your child to be. Think about the things you do. Think about the thoughts that go through your head. Think about the times you dump on your kids. All right? I don't enjoy those things, but I've done all those things. I've taught negative things to my children by how I react. Now, do I think, do I want my children to be that kind of parent? Then I better change the kind of parenting that I am, the kind of parent that I am. So, don't leave your parenting skills up to somebody else. Now, there are situations where you have special needs and you don't have the ability to meet the needs of your child. I understand that. And maybe you need some help with it. Get Christian helpers to help you. Don't go to a secular world to get spiritual help, because you will get about as much as they own, which is none. Again, donut. And thirdly, get involved with passing on the knowledge you have. Teach your children. Don't just assume they know. Listen, this is one of my biggest weaknesses as a person. I'm going to share this with you because it's kind of ridiculous, but I'm not a touchy-feely person. Don't love to be hugged. My zone, my bubble gets invaded and I kind of tense up. Right? God's working on that for me. He really is. We got a car accident. I have to go for a massage 3 times. I leave there more tense than when I got there, because the guy's touching me. You just look like you laugh, but that's my problem. So what do I do? How do I model that? Well, I have to let my children touch me. This is my no-no zone. Whatever, don't touch me. So anyways, that leads to another discomfort I have, which is talking to my kids about birds and bees. That's my wife's job. Let her teach the birds and the bees, right? Listen, we got to get comfortable talking about what we're not comfortable talking about. Because if you're not comfortable talking about spiritual things, this is why I was tying this together. If you're not comfortable talking about spiritual things, you can't transfer that to your children. You have to be comfortable talking about it. And then you have to be ready for the questions that say, you know, I know those are the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. They know exactly what I'm not doing right, and they'll tell me. Patience, Dad. Get involved. Now listen, you may not have any children. Or your children are grown up and not in the house anymore. There are people who influence children that don't have children. Susie doesn't have any children, but she influences my child in Sunday school. Right? Maybe you don't have any children near you. Maybe they've all grown up and gone away, but you can still influence other children. I know you thought, I gave up my children when they graduated and went away to college. I don't need to worry about them anymore. I'm just paying the parent loan off. That's all I'm doing, right? No, you can transfer that parental knowledge to somebody else. I happen to know of a young couple in our church that's having a baby and never had a baby in their lives before. So they're going to need a lot of suggestions on what to do with this baby. And I'm sure they're getting a lot of earfuls right now, right? You're getting a lot of ideas. You say, oh, look, we had one lady when Daniel was first born. She came running across the parking lot in El Centro because my wife was carrying the baby and the sun was out. And she said, you got to cover that baby's eyes. It can't be in the sun. Freaking out.
I'm like, we live in El Centro. It's sunny all the time. How are we going to, what are we going to, we had to put him in the billing room in lights to get sun, for Pete's sakes, because they cover him all the time. Listen, you have lots of suggestions for Brooke. I suggest you sit down with her an hour. Each of you spend an hour with Brooke. If you have children, spend an hour with Brooke and just tell her how to be a mom. She'll love it. Right? So, listen, put into the lives of children, even if they're not yours. So, let's close off. Parents, educate your children as best you can. These are the three answers. I'm going to make them smaller. Church, we're going to partner with them. That's number two. And thirdly, we're going to equip parents to do it. My wife has been asking me, when are we going to do a parenting class? That's like asking me, when am I going to start a muscle building class? I don't know anything about muscle building. I barely know anything about parenting. You know? But guess who does? Al? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. No. God knows about how to be a parent. You don't have to know everything. There's enough instructions in God's book to get us through anything we're going through in life. Are you ready to go to the next level of education? It's important for us, by the way, to be a church that educates children and educates adults. There are lots of newborn Christians who need education. Think about it. If you've gotten saved in the last 7 years or less, you are as old as a Christian as Dylan is a human. And he got lots of humanity to learn. I'm just glad he's got rhythm. You got to find your Christian rhythm. You know, whatever it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for allowing us to be together today. We ask you to challenge us in our lives. Father, don't make it too hard, but make it doable for us. Father, show me today what I need to work on. And then tomorrow, show me what I need to work on tomorrow. Father, we can do this. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the example he set in coming and dying for us and loving us unconditionally. We ask that you would go with us today as we move forward. Help us to make the decision we need to right now in this time of invitation. Now, if there's anyone here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the very first thing you have to do. You can't grow as a Christian unless you is one. And is you is or is you ain't a Christian this morning? That's the question you got to ask. Now, if you're a Christian and you haven't been living right, and you need to come up here and just pray with somebody, I'll pray with you. Maybe you just need some prayer support this week. We'll pray with you. And if I get busy with one, I got other people that can pray too as well. Let's stand together and we sing.